Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton from the American Vindicta Show is with us. And together, we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And Art Bell used to talk about the quickening. I'm experiencing it in my life. I'm sure a lot of you are too. Just so much going on, so much to do in such short time, so many crises. I literally. We'll have a list of 15 things to talk about in the course of a day, and maybe I get to four. And that's kind of how it is. And I'm sure Doug's in the same boat. We're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios on my end. Do never, never, never let your bank hold your retirement, ever. The Dodd-Frank law of 2010 says they can take it, they can take your savings. Also, too, gold's a great investment. Noble Gold is one-stop shopping to ensure your economic future. I've been a customer for 7.5 years, advertised for 8.5 years, so I can give the federal warning. FTC says there's no guarantees. We totally agree with that. But I have confidence in Noble Gold. You will too. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Put your email in. We don't sell your data. And I'll send you out an electronic free information packet. It's short, sweet, easy to read. It'll have Noble Gold's number on it, and you can get started preserving and growing your wealth. Doug, you got any shootings, shooting training coming up?
Hopefully not any shootings coming up. So we got training in August, September, and December right now. It's on the books.
Oh.
So go to vindictasolutions.com. You'll be able to see that. The first one that's up, that's in August. That'll be a basic firearms class. So shooting pistol and carbine, so pistol, rifle. September will be probably one of our most important classes, and we're getting a lot of traction on this, so praise God. But this is our all women's course where we're going to put you through a shoot, move, communicate course, which let me break that down just real quick, Dave. Shoot, move, communicate course for us is a basic how to close quarters battle instruction. What we want to teach you how to do is how to use a pistol and or rifle. How to work in teams, and then how to manipulate corners, long hallways, short hallways, walls, doors, and also how to deal with one adversarial person or maybe multiple adversarial people. We will teach you the basics of common sense approach to close quarters fighting. We're not here to try and make you into any, thing that you're not going to be. We want you to be able to use common sense approach stuff that's muscle memory, very easy, and get out and survive any type of deadly encounter. So, and this will be able to be used honestly anywhere once you learn the basics of these tactics. If you've never taken a course like this, if you're a woman and you want to be able to defend yourself, say that I've been through a training that is probably a step above what other people are teaching. And none of it is live fire. All of it is training pistols and training rifles. The pellets do hurt, I'm not gonna lie. But no one's died. So the whole goal and intent here is to make this as serious of a scenario as possible to get you into the mindset that you have to apply all the fundamentals that are being taught.
Yeah.
And hey man, I'm telling you, look at the riots going on right now. Look at the craziness going on right now. This is when you'll want to know things like this. And we are still, Dave,
Doug,
in
let me
these
stop you. Have
times.
you heard any reports about home invasions as a result of these anti-American riots?
Not recently, but I mean, you can easily look at it with the amount of small businesses or businesses that are being attacked. There's already these crowds are already attacking people that are in vehicles again. You remember that when
Yeah,
people were.
that's like 92 LA riots restated. Yeah, it's crazy.
It depends on how bad the overflow is when it's pushed down the street, how many rioters get everywhere. We know that in Seattle and Portland and elsewhere. Once they could no longer really control the downtown city, they went to the suburbs. And
Okay, let's
anyone
hold
who
it,
had.
Doug, let's hold that just for a second because I want to put closure on these
Okay.
training. And I want to come right back to this. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to want to stay tuned for this because Doug had a lot of responsibility when he was up in Portland during the Antifa riots. In fact, he used to communicate with me under the name Wrecker, and come on and give updates on the show covertly. And I think that's valuable training. But anyway, Doug, tell people how these ladies in particular, how they can take advantage of registering for the course and all that good stuff.
Right. So it's at Vindicta Solutions right here, vindictasolutions.com. You can go to either our YouTube page or you can go to the website. But if you go to the website, that's where you'll be able to log in, or excuse me, that's where you'll be able to purchase the ticket for the course. And you can email us through that website. And here on the Intel Report, I'll make sure that in the description below, there'll be a link to all of that.
Okay.
But outside of that, if you got any questions, please just email us.
Send me over the link too, because as I put the our side out of on this, I'll put that in there.
Roger that.
Okay. I want to go to what you learned when you were in Portland. I think the LA situation appears to be potentially more of a volatile, but it was pretty bad in Portland. What did you learn about overflow crowd being dispersed and what would happen to individuals?
So it, to get back onto what we were talking about, there came a point in time where the demonstrators would be the word that Portland would use, rioters, terrorists, they started going to suburbs. And when they would go into suburbs, residential areas, if you had a Trump flag, a Trump sign, an American flag, a nice car, and they would target that. They would destroy it. You've got to understand the methodology here. These people are terrorists. They want to terrorize. So what they want to do is to instill fear, incite panic, and anarchy. And I mean, they were, it was not uncommon for them to go to people's homes, bang on the doors, throw rocks through the windows. There was a guy who I believe he was at the T intersection of their roadway in their residential area. He had a MAGA sign or something like that. And so Antifa obviously comes over there, messes with the guy. The guy comes outside and becomes in a verbal argument with them. So an altercation between one man, a homeowner, and the crowd starts. The crowd tried to get into his house. They tried to get into his house. And they could have, if they really wanted to. They were breaking windows. I believe they damaged his car. I believe they damaged the exterior of the home. And we're listening to it on police reports because that's not our jurisdiction. That was Portland PPB, the police bureau's jurisdiction. So we're just listening to it as this madness is going on.
I want to
Anyone.
say this. This is when Doug was in DHS. I want to make that very clear. This is
Yes.
official. This is official material from Doug and his role as a DHS agent. And yeah, I heard about this almost every day from Doug when he, well, at least when he had the time to get a hold of me. But Doug, what was the resolution of that case? Did they get into the home and they do bring harm to the guy?
No, they just stayed out there for, I mean, as long as they protest, they stayed at that guy's house.
All right.
So, I mean,
Let me
it
ask you
becomes
this.
dangerous.
How much danger were you and your colleagues in, and also the Portland PD? How much danger was it for them during this event?
I don't know who honestly had it worse to an extent. God bless Portland PPB for the guys that we worked with. And the sheriff's department and the state police. The police bureau was hamstrung by the mayor, who was also the police chief or commissioner, the police commissioner. And Ted Wheeler is the reason why everything went downhill. And I have so many horrific things I want to say about that man, but I'm not going to. But he eventually got to where he wouldn't allow PPB to interact with DHS components. Anything that was federal, well, we were just at a stop sign, right? PPB is going this way and we're going this way. We stop at a stop sign just to say what's up to each other. And they said, hey, we were just told that we're no longer allowed to even talk to you guys. And like, what is going on here? So you had a complete breakdown from the municipality and from the government leadership was against us. And they were pro the terrorists. So I don't even know what you want to call that, but I mean, it's sedition in my book.
It is. It is sedition. And Ted Wheeler should have been tried for treason. I covered him extensively, Doug, based on some things you told me. Then I went and did some other research. This guy was Bernie Sanders at the local level.
Yeah. Ted Wheeler and that city council are responsible for billions of dollars of property damage. Billions of dollars. Not only that, but every life that's lost there, that is their fault. When you are in a leadership position, when you're at the tippy top, everything wrong that happens in your administration is your fault. You're going to take the blame for it. And Ted Wheeler was out there, you know, with his people passing out drugs, letting the violent homeless people do whatever they want. And when I say violent homeless people, I'm not being demeaning when I say this. These are people who deliberately came to Portland to become homeless and be an extensive narcotics user and to be into the in crowd of violent known communists. There's not one out there that's not a communist supporter or sympathizer. And then to be paid for and taken care of by that local government and taxpayer dollars.
Like San Francisco right now. I know. Yeah,
people came from all over the country to Portland to party over the summer and hang out. And then once the winter came, a lot of them left. And it was a cat and mouse game. Here's the mindset of this. And you're watching this with LA and Chicago, New York, Atlanta, and a bunch of others. Hopefully if this starts in Texas, the beatdown really begins, but it's a game. And I don't know where this comes up in people's ideas that burning, looting, and pillaging, murdering people, harassing people, property damage, attacking police, attacking citizens. I don't understand why this is attractive to some people, but it obviously is. And you have people that are out there who do not care at all about whatever it is everyone else is protesting, the Mexican thing or the immigrant thing or the, you know, Black Lives Matter thing. Or we're against big oil. I remember the Keystone Pipeline protest that, you know, we used to be a part of. Not a part of. I attended those in police functions. So I'm very used to this, and everything has grown in intensity. Let me tell you this, Dave, and you may remember this, but your audience probably doesn't. Our audience probably doesn't. The little specialized teams that we were a part of, and the greater organization of DHS, we had been sent to Portland, Oregon every year since 2016 to combat Antifa. Outside of 2016, I've never been to Portland. I have no idea about the history of it or how Antifa was. But starting in 2016, when Donald Trump became president the first time, that's when we first saw Black Bloc. That's when we first really saw this growing violent, mobilized gang that clearly had command and control, clearly had logistical support, and clearly somebody's financing them. And so along with this, they were good, very good at communicating. They were very good at organizing. And they were lockstep with each other. There wasn't a person out there that wasn't going to do what everyone else was going to do. So you had a group of people who's very well organized. These are trained demonstrators that a lot of times we know from intelligence that we've gathered were hired by Democratic lawyer law firms, and they pay professional protesters. And then you have professional agitators. So a professional protester, an organizer, they lead, they instruct, they start the chants, they organize, and they move the events. They're on a time limit, all right? And you can sit there and watch them, and we talk to them. If it's not a really bad protest that turns into a riot, generally we'll say, hey, who's in charge of the protests? One person or two or three people volunteer, And they'll have a time limit, how long they're going to be there, what they're going to do, where they're going to move, where they're going to wind up. And that's even if they have a permit to protest or if they don't. Now, Antifa, on the other hand, they run just like that, but they will not talk to you. They hate us, and that's fine. But they are very well organized in a militant fashion. And we later learned with the 2020 protests. So we went out there and we faced these idiots from 2016, 2017, and 2018. They took over the ICE facility on McAdams Street in Portland. We actually had to go and do a raid on that street, on that McAdams facility. I wasn't there. I think my team was on the border at that time or something. So I didn't get to do that, but some of my other teammates did. And then we're at the ICE facility for the next 4 to 5 months, defending it from the wild, vagrant, homeless people that are all violent communists. So 2019, it kind of the same thing kind of shifts. And then 2020 starts. And then it all goes downhill from there. We learned in 2020 that not only were they making improvised explosive devices, they were also planning ambush sites for law enforcement. They had medical
Using was
pickup
that using
sites.
guns?
Yes, I mean everything. They were using terrorist tactics to bait us in. They're using terrorist tactics to surround us. And unfortunately for them, and our unit, every single one of us is a combat veteran. So we saw this miles away happening. And because they're not very well organized, nor do they actually have the experience of this, we could overwhelm them very easily and outflank them and all that other cool military jargon stuff. But the thing about it is that they had veterans in their crowd who were teaching them tactics. They had veterans who were in a violent communist revolutionary terrorist organization who were teaching them tactics of how to defeat law enforcement tactics. And it never really proved effective. But the fact that we knew they were there was very concerning to us. They started showing up more and more with weaponry. We would get, gain intel from the ground while talking to protesters and then thus rioters, those that we arrested or detained, that there are more people in the crowds who are concealing weapons, long rifles, shotguns, rifles, Molotov cocktails, improvised explosive devices. I think within 1 month, we found four IEDs, four explosives that they had attempted to use against us, but it failed. There was one night, and because these people, aren't exactly intelligent, they are all out there videotaping. Is that even a word that we use anymore? Videotaping? They're all out there recording this live on their phones from either Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mostly YouTube. So it was not hard to go and search in YouTube and find their own channels. All you had to do was type in riots in Portland live, and you would find their channels where they're filming us and we're getting to listen to everything that they say. And so in the midst of that, there was one night where some guy and I think it was a Dodge Challenger, attempted to actually do a vehicle ramming attack on the Antifa crowd. Well, he dispersed the crowd. Thank God nobody did get run over, even though, Antifa is what they are. But what we saw next was immediately with their live cameras still recording, they're running to their parked cars. They open up trunks and it is literally stacked filled with rifles, AKs, AR-15s, shotguns. So they come to these potential riots, though it starts off as a protest, fully ready for war.
Do you
And
know anything
here's,
about their training?
yeah, they've trained with ISIS, in Syria.
Oh, really?
Yep, they have trained with the Sinaloa cartel in Tijuana. All this is open source intelligence now. We know that they have various connections with the Communist Chinese Party. These are not good, well-meaning people. and they need to be treated as a terrorist organization, but someone protects them
How
all
much
the time.
were they paid? Did you ever get that information?
One of our agents overheard a group of people one night while taking public transportation, and there's a whole crowd of people bragging about how they just got paid $200 to show up for a protest. Well, that protest ended up being about 12,000 people. Do the math. It's a
Yeah,
lot of
yeah.
money.
Hey, I'm hearing reports. More than one, I don't know if it's true, but some of the LA rioters are being paid $10,000 a week. Do you know anything about that?
That's your professional agitators. Yeah, that's your professional agitators. Once again, these are people who are on retainer. They're on retainer for these law firms, and I mean, they're well known. When I worked in the Northeast in Camden, New Jersey, was where I got started with DHS. Lovely city, murder capital of the year for the 3 years I was there. We were working protest in Philadelphia, and we were working the Keystone XL pipeline protest. We ended up arresting like 70 hippie old people, whatever. But we would get, every week or every 2 weeks, a couple hundred people or a couple thousand people protest, and you would see the same guy there every protest for the left or for the right, for conservative things, for neoliberal things, for environmental things or anti-government things. You'd see the same guy there, and he always had signs, and he was always leading chants. And so I wouldn't say befriended the guy, but he was very friendly. But we asked him, he was a tall, long, blonde-haired, shaggy blonde-haired guy. And they're like, "Hey, man, we see you at every single one of these protests. Do you just enjoy coming out here?" And he's like, "Oh, no, man, I get paid to be out here." Like, what does that mean? He's like, "Well, I work for this law firm. I'm a professional crowd organizer. And I make about $70,000 a year, and this is all I do."
Let me ask you, I know you're not a lawyer, but you have law enforcement experience. So let me ask you this question this way. Okay, since these activities are illegal and they range from being classified as riot behavior to insurrection, can't the law firms that are sponsoring be prosecuted?
And so if it is truly tied, and this would have to be work on the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the local police, and then the assistant attorney, assistant U.S. attorney for Department of Justice. They would have to find a series of reasons to categorize something truly in the definition under the color of law as terrorism. Now, you would be surprised at how many things actually qualify as terrorism or domestic terrorism,
Yeah, walk
or
us through that because maybe we can compare that to what's going on in LA.
I didn't work for any of the attorneys, but when you have a support from an outside foreign entity or a foreign nation or dictator, and you receive material support, logistical support, you have reference tie-ins. So I'm talking to them online. I'm talking to them on the phone. I'm going and meeting with these people. That can all connect you into being associated with a violent terrorism group. And that's all you are pretty much going to need for the probable cause, because that's all my reasonable suspicion. And the probable cause to either have a wiretap on you, to start doing different types of warrants where we can look more into your history and what you do, follow your social media. And then from there, it's to gather and gain evidence to effect an arrest. And sometimes that arrest will come with, "Hey, we won't charge you with these things, but you're going to tell us information. And then you're going to give us gainful information afterwards. We're going to listen to you. We're going to follow you. Because you're part of a terrorist organization, unless you want to disappear for 30 years, then you're going to help us." And you see these things happening right now with the cartels. El Chapo's son has turned state's evidence in Chicago.
Yeah.
So that type of support is what's typically sought after so that we can get to all the networks, all the sales, who's doing what. And then instead of just catching one fish, we get to see the entire pond and everybody swimming in it. But the thing is, some administrations completely ignore all tangible evidence and just look the other way and cry racism and sexism and whatever. And then another group will say, well, you know, I want people to like me. So I'll take some moderates and some leftists and I'll put them in some positions and they'll screw everything up. And then the point that I have egg on my face and now I have to knee-jerk reaction, do something about it. And that was Trump's first term. Okay. Trump's first term, he had egg on his face in the eyes of law enforcement for not doing what he said he was going to do and putting absolute idiots in charge of operations that should have been done quickly, effectively, and been over. Let's move to the next big, you know, snake and cut their head off. But instead, we treaded water consistently on operations that should have been done within weeks. They took months and they slow rolled us and Trump didn't do anything about it. And he heard us complaining about it. Trust me, from the tippy top, from bottom to top, he heard us complaining. He came out to the sites and visited. He went to the border and visited. His people went to Portland and other places and visited, and he experienced it himself at the White House. And I think once the White House was nearly broken into and Secret Service were in a confrontation, a violent confrontation with rioters, they burnt that church. I think when all that happened, Donald Trump kind of rubber band snapped back into reality that you're not untouchable. You're not the celebrity host that everyone loves and that people do want to hurt you and they do want to kill you and they want to hurt your family. And he started to take it more serious when the death threats started coming. And it seems like this term, right off the gate, we're doing exactly what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Bondi, I will give a bit of an applaud, but also a warning. So let's give the applaud first. She said 2 days ago, in reference to the riots and protests, if you harm, touch, spit on, throw a rock at, throw a Molotov cocktail at any of our officers from local sheriff's department, state to federal, we're going to prosecute you under the United States federal codes. I think it's 237 is what she said. And then she said, in, I mean, 1 to 5 years, 1 to 10 years, 1 to 20 years. And she said, we will try to reach the maximum for every single one of them. And here's the thing. That's the way that's supposed to be ran. The U.S. Attorney General, they should be out there quelling all of this dissent, because it only leads to more madness and more people being hurt and more crime. But that's not what we saw with the attorney generals the first time under Trump's administration.
Well, I remember Merrick Garland saying,
oh my God,
these activities happen before 5 p.m. They're illegal. And he said, but they happen after 5. They're just protests. I thought, what? Do I need to get a translator to make sense out of this?
We were told at one point in time when they were setting buildings on fire, this is Portland's 2021 under the Biden administration. And my higher ups did not like this. I just want to say the agency I worked for was great. The people that we worked with were great, good, God-fearing veterans. I think to be in our agency, you had to be a veteran with a combat deployment in order to carry the gun and badge. So every single person working beside me was a veteran. And so we all had a shared camaraderie here. But right there as at the closure of the operation, we were told to sit in a building until they set it on fire and then let the fire stoke good enough so that we can say, okay, the building's legitimately on fire. We're going to go out and arrest people now, because if not, then they would sit there. The higher ups from DC and Biden's administration would literally call, cry, and complain that we were touching protesters, rioters, domestic terrorists who were out there every single night. And it became a point of absolute madness and frustration to sit here and say, I put on this badge and shield, this gun, this vest, this uniform to keep my people safe. What are you doing? Why are you out here not letting us do our jobs? And they heard it. And we would get told to shut up all the time. It's a new administration. This is how it's going. And once again, the same people who were now our bosses a couple months prior were talking jokingly about how we were getting hurt. Officers were getting hurt, about how people were getting hurt. Citizens were getting hurt. Property was being destroyed. Kamala Harris actually helped with bailouts for some of these violent terrorists. So let me give my warning real quick. Okay. I appreciate what Pam Bondi and Donald Trump are doing with trying to quell the riots. And I completely agree with deploying the military. The leftists can go pound sand. We must maintain order and discipline and law in this country. It's not a free-for-all. If you want a free-for-all, move to Mexico. Why don't you go explore Haiti for a few weeks, see if you survive? But here in America, we the people pay for law and order, and our Constitution demands response to crime by law enforcement officials. But it can go too far, because this could set a precedence for the next administration coming in or for the next events that are happening. If they're already willing to deploy thousands of troops for these riots, could it potentially be used nefariously down the road? I don't know. But it does set a slippery slope and precedence. Back to you, Dave.
I can't disagree with your conclusion there. And I also agree with your assessment. They're doing what needs to be done. Let me take this to a different level. I just did a social media post, and I'm going off of Newsom's off-the-cuff remarks. One was official, one was off-the-cuff. The official statement he made is we're not sending state tax money to the federal government as we're obligated to under the law. And then what he said pretty much off the cuff, we may just leave the union. And I want to just say this as a statement. Over 10 years ago, and with the help of Paul Preston, I covered CalExit, which was the official move by the state of California under Jerry Brown to secede from the union. And I showed in my social media post today a makeshift embassy that was set up in Russia. And I had the picture, everything, a description. It's a violation of the Logan Act, no question. There should have been prosecutions done, but this was under Obama, so it was not. I think Trump missed the boat and should have done something about it when he came into office. But CalExit's been kind of still lurking around. Eric Holder's run it for a while. I don't know who's in charge now. But if Newsom makes good on his threat, California, I think, is going to try to bring in the UN under the Kigali principles. Russia's not in a position to help him. I don't think China is in a position to help him. They're in chaos. But I do think he could appeal to the Kigali principles.
So let me add into that. I want to add right into that. And you mentioned China. There's back channels that are being talked about. It's all open source intelligence. But there's back channels that these two aircraft carriers, these two flotillas from China that are supposedly steaming towards the West Coast of America are coming. And this is, I don't believe it, but this is the rumor intelligence, that they're coming to actually support the communist sympathizers in California. And this is what the Communist Party in California put out as an official statement on Twitter. It says the democratic aspirations of the California people must not be crushed by the iron fist of the Trump junta. Protesters armed only with Molotov cocktails, cinder blocks, and shopping carts are being... Yeah, that's just like, come on, man. And shopping carts are being ruthlessly suppressed by heavily armed federal forces. We stand in solidarity with the brave freedom fighters of Santa Monica. Notice the wording here, freedom fighters of Santa Monica and the resistance cells in the Silver Lake area. Their dream of a sovereign, democratic California should not be extinguished.
You know, it's interesting that Newsom met with Xi Jinping months ago along those lines. I'm going to throw in a sidebar here, though. This is CCP Politburo move. Xi Jinping, and I don't want to get into this too much here. You can go to my YouTube channel if you want to see the details, people. But Xi Jinping's been deposed. He's been reduced to a figurehead. Yes, he did talk to Trump about tariffs and so forth, but he's been replaced by a guy named Wen Yang, and he's more of a moderate. I'm surprised this is going on with this. This is an act of war, and I will tell you this. Do you not think if they approach in an aggressive manner the West Coast, they will be interdicted?
I absolutely do believe that. But the thing is would they come all the way to the West Coast just to show support for the Communist Party? Because you and I talked about this, and I've been seeing this happening since 2018, that I believe there's going to end up being a third party. And Elon Musk has already even, you know, hinted at a need for a third party. But I bet you there will be a third or fourth party that will be a legitimate communist movement, not this liberalism, not this democratic tie, a legitimate communist socialist movement, which Russia would support, which China would support. And if Gavin Newsom is stupid enough to try and separate from the union, if it were me, if I were Donald Trump, if I were the president, I would let him do it. I'd say, okay, make your official declaration that you want to now be your own country, and you draft it up, and you come to the White House, and you and I can have a press briefing, and we'll talk about it. We'll make sure there's an economic trade and, you know, all the lies. And by the time we're smiling and shaking hands, I'm going to turn to the Secret Service. I'm going to say, arrest this man. He is now a war criminal, or whatever I want to declare him to be, and retake back California. Because you're not going to leave.
I agree.
You're not going to leave.
I want to speak to Newsom and the Democratic Party's motivation here. I'm speaking at the New California Conference June 30th and July 1st in Visalia, and I encourage people to go. The New California movement will succeed, and they'll become a 51st state if the Republicans, without rhinos, will hold on to the Senate and the House. That's going to happen. I can tell you right now, Trump is firmly behind this. The reason being is there'll be a split in California with two states now. And New California would get 20 senators, and they'd get two representatives. Okay, the Democratic Party can't allow that to happen. That would negate all the work they've done by bringing in migrants and trying to get them voter eligible. So this is a huge deal, Doug, and I'm telling you, this is the main motivation behind this. This isn't about ICE deportations and all this.
No.
This is about preserving political power for the Democratic Party. What I have also said is this, too. I agree there's another party coming. I saw it a little different, and I might have to modify, but I thought the rhinos would split off from the MAGA, and you'd get two political parties that way, and the Democrats would be relegated to being like the Libertarian Party.
Well, eventually, yes. And here's the thing. Extremists will always break off. The extremists can't have the moderates because they're not extreme enough. They want things done now. I want you to listen to this new tweet that was put out yesterday. Now, this is from, it's on Twitter, and it's from a guy called Kai, K-A-I, the peasant. He's Chinese, at Kai Wong, CN. He says, China recognizes the one American policy, the one America policy, but if the United States invades California, China will consider sending troops to defend it. He says also that the aircraft carrier Fujian is en route to the California coast to uphold freedom of navigation. What are they talking? What is this guy talking about?
Well, I can tell you he's talking about. I'll put a title on it. Chinese flotilla coming in support of Newsom's revolutionary activities.
Hey, why is Newsom so mad that Donald Trump took away his National Guard, because his National Guard, whichever entity it is that he's using, was involved in unsanctioned operations, in a military operation for the state of California, not for the United States. What, in other countries?
I know that. Yeah, boy, that's a whole rabbit hole there that Paul Preston and I have been down in detail. Yeah, you're totally correct about that. Newsom's walking a fine line because he could find himself behind bars within a week.
Well, Tom Homan has threatened that. And not only did he threaten that, but he also said that any type of politician, any politician that gets in the way of these border operations, they will be arrested and prosecuted. What I think we, the people, are tired of is politicians filled with talk and not walking the walk. And Trump did that his first term a lot. A lot. And people called him out for it. And either Donald Trump wants to vindicate himself, or maybe he wants to do a third term. I don't know.
I think he learned a lesson.
Well, I think his
I think
legacy.
he was naive about how you construct an administration at that level and combat
Yeah.
the deep state.
Well, I think his
And I
legacy
think
is
he
on the
learned his
line.
lesson.
Yeah, his legacy is on the line, and he wants to leave with some sort of a,
I
you
agree.
know, I did some sort of a meaningful impact.
Well, he
And I'm
wants to be
just.
George Washington too, Doug.
Well, I'm just being objective here.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to use any perception or
Well, I'll
opinions.
say it. I'll step on that ledge. I've said this for a while now, and I don't have a problem with the ego. I want someone who feels this way. He wants to go down in history. George Washington founded the country and preserved it, and Donald Trump wants to be known for the guy that saved America and brought it back. I don't have a problem with that. I align with that goal. And he cannot let Newsom do what he's doing. Newsom said we had this under control. I would say the video coverage is to the contrary, but I'll say one thing. CNN is kind of turning their coverage on Trump's migration. They've kind of turned around and become more moderate because they'll get killed on the ratings if they don't. But I saw CNN being filmed, and the person was saying, "There's no violence here," and the camera was panning off away from where the violence was. That's the kind of bullcrap that we're getting out of the media.
Well, that's why no one believes it anymore. The mainstream media is dying. It needs to die at this point. It is a
Well,
sinking
listen,
ship.
listen. I went through, Sam Anthony from Your News. Sam went through the numbers with me. I have three outlets that outdraw Fox News on a monthly basis. And I'm
Yeah.
not bragging. I'm just an average guy. So that means Paul Preston, Sarah, all these people that we know, Doug, are also outperforming the mainstream media. And, they have the tools and they have the remote reporters. But the people aren't listening because people know they're full of nonsense.
No, and you need to take this as a point of consideration and training. Eventually, the wrong people will get into the government. This government will turn dictatorial. Eventually, it will. If not under Trump, then under somebody, it will. And the mainstream media will be the only state media, just like China, just like North Korea, just like Russia. And they will kill social media. They'll kill YouTube. They'll kill Facebook. They'll kill Twitter. You'll
Sure.
be allowed the social media website that is official by the state. And there's only so many things you can say, maybe about how great the leader is, right? But that happens in all of these little small Soviet bloc communist countries. People think in America, oh, that'll never happen here because we're Americans.
Yeah, I know that.
There's already communist senators and congressmen, socialists and communists, senators and congressmen who support the destruction of the United States and of the Constitution and of the Bill of Rights, and people vote for them and keep them in office. No, we already are under a current act of civil war.
I want to
We are.
address that comment for a second because there's historical validity to what you're saying. Trevor Loudon wrote a book maybe 10, 12 years ago called Enemies Within. And he took over 70 people currently serving in the Congress, okay, the Senate. Kamala Harris was one of them. And they had memberships to the Democratic Socialist Party. I'm not joking. This is verified, validated public record. And the right arm of the Communist Party is the Democratic Socialist Party. And household names, Chuck Schumer. I mean, right down the line, people, the Democratic leadership are members of this, Bernie Sanders. Now, what ends up happening with this is they're, let's put it this way, they're engaged in what they call an equitable approach to government. You know that word equitable, right? Where we determine the outcome, not equality, but we determine the outcome. And these people are determined to erase the freedoms. They think we have too much. And they're determined to do away totally with the Constitution. You're absolutely right. And Trevor Loudon's written two follow-up books that covers this in detail. But when you look around to blue leaders, Doug, they align with this philosophy. There's no question. And it's amazing to me, someone will ask me a question. I'll be at a dinner party or something, and I try not to bring the politics to it, but invariably I'll get asked the question because of what I do. Well, what do you think about da da da? And I tell them, well, this is the Democratic Socialist Party ideal. It's really Marxist-Leninist, soft version, and they're bringing it in, not even so much by stealth anymore. And these people are shocked, Doug. They look at me like I'm from a different planet. Yet everything I just said is documented.
So, and what you just did is you covered what the left is and the Democratic Socialist Communist Party that links to China. Who's the biggest communist country in the world? It's China. Okay. It's even hard to say if Russia is truly communistic anymore. They're just a whole nother thing. They have a strong man. But China is absolutely communist, and the little fiefdom countries that they own, they're all communist. Well, those democratic socialist communists, congressmen, senators, they all tie into China, don't they?
That's
They
correct.
all do. Okay. So we know that at one point in time, there were 33 members, and I have updated information for you that there were 33 former members of Congress from the Republican Party who are communist Chinese
That's true.
lobbyists. Okay. So here's some updated information for you. Between 2003 and 2018, the Chinese government and its affiliates lobbied 643 members of Congress. This lobbying effort involves significant activity with over 10,000 recorded activities between 2005 and 2018. Oh, by the way, that's for the Republican Party.
I
So,
listen, it's more Democratic Party by far, but there are inroads that have been made to the Republican Party. I agree.
the
Doug, I want you to hear
former
this.
Republican Speaker of the House is one of the main lobbyists,
You talk about Mike Johnson?
John Boehner.
Oh, yeah, ex-speaker. Okay. I want you to hear this. I covered this morning. And this is getting play in other places. This isn't just Dave Hodges. Harvard overseeing CCP activities on campus. That's become a Harvard's become a training ground for the CCP and their children. Many of the CCP leaders, two of them out of the Politburo, were Harvard educated. And then you've got Xi Jinping's daughter there, and this is just an example of what we're talking about here. But it gets more serious than that, Doug. It's not just ideological affiliation with China from Harvard. They're connected to the CCP in terms of robotic military applications were developed at Harvard Research and allowed to be taken to China, and they bypassed the people that are supposed to filter this for the government. And this is not in question here. And I'm looking at this, and they've engaged in the anti-Semitic riots. They've promoted Hamas on their campus, which is a communist organization. This is Harvard, Doug. This is public information. And you know who's also giving me some of this information? Chinese dissidents within this. Anyway, what do you think of what I just said about Harvard? Doesn't that speak about the how far the infiltration's gone?
Well, yeah, the thing is if it's probably in every Ivy League school, which is disconcerting because many of our military officers come from those Ivy League schools.
Yes.
Many of your tech CFOs and financiers and people who are, in law firms from private to government associated, they come from these Ivy League schools. So the fact that China has a hand in everything leads me to this conclusion, and maybe we can talk about this to end what we've been discussing. China cannot fight us physically and win that fight because they cannot project themselves outside of a small area of the Pacific Islands into China. They just can't do it. They have a larger fleet than we do, but we are poised and positioned in so many different places that you can't just target one part of our fleet when you have all of our allies' fleets and all of our stuff parked at every country surrounding you. And they know this. They know this. Any type of strike on us has to be very strategic, and they got one shot, one shot. But let's take this to the full-blown drawn conclusion, and let's look at the totality of circumstances here. The riots are back. Summer of Love 2.0.
There you go.
Last time this happened, the communist Chinese were here in this country moving about, potentially moving about weapons, manpower, and ammunition, and sneaking people across the border under not Trump, under Biden's administration. Probably close to 100,000 or 1 million or more Chinese men of fighting age infiltrated into this country, and we have no idea where they're at because right now it's all the Hispanics and Haitians and whatnot, for the most part, who are being targeted. I want to see the Chinese out of here
I agree with you.
first.
That should be the, well, MS-13 and TDA, it's got to be a first level target. I agree, because they could form terrorist groups.
The
Oh, by the
loudest.
way, did you see, what's the, Sarah Adams, the CIA agent that's making the
So
rounds?
that's I want to get to this. I
Did
want to
you
get to
get the
this.
weaponized vest?
Yes,
Yeah, okay, all right.
I want to
We
get
don't
to
have a lot of
this.
time, so let's get that done right
Okay,
here.
so this summer, when all the riots are going back and Trump is going hardcore with law enforcement and with the military, and we're all rah-rahing all this happening, between us trying to bully China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia, all of those have cells here. And we know it. It's confirmed. All they have to do, while all of us idiots are surrounding the idiots in the city
I
throwing
hear you.
fireworks at us, is attack our grid. That's all you got to do.
You think that's why they're here?
Yeah. I mean, even if you just randomly start shooting at people, you do something, but then it goes away and no one gives a crap a couple days, a couple weeks later. You hit the grid. And you black our eye for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year. You've destroyed this presidency. You've destroyed our economy. And we have no idea what happens next. And then, if it were me, if I was a dastardly person, take out the power, sit back and laugh, and then hit the bio agent. If that's really what you want to do,
Yeah,
if
I
you
hear you.
really don't want to have to attack this country, you want to see us turn into The Walking Dead or The Last of Us TV series, those are the things that you do, and you let the terrorists do it because they want to die anyways.
Well, Sarah Adams is talking about the suicide vest coming across the border. That's an unconfirmed report, though, people. I don't want to put my name on that because I can't validate that right now, but this is a former CIA agent who's proven to be pretty credible. There are plans for this country, and we're seeing the plans carried out in our major cities right now. It seems like Atlanta is going to take the place of LA here pretty quick, and that's not going to be the end. Unfortunately, we are flat out of time. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. Pray. All I got to say, train, prep, and pray, to borrow a phrase from Doug. And we will see you all back here again next time. Thanks for joining us on the Intel Report.